Welcome to Podfic a Week, the podcast of fanfiction audiobooks. This week's fanfiction was recently published as part of the One Piece Justice anthology and touches on Dadan's struggles with raising Ace and Luffy. This is A Lesson Not Imparted by Rooksy. When Garp first brought a child to Mount Columbo, Dadan was having a great day. She was finishing up on the chores, hanging the laundry outside to dry, looking forward to being done so she could finally relax with some good whiskey. Dadan was sure nothing could ruin her mood today, especially after the amazing catch they had made earlier. Some of the merchants were dumb enough to cross her mountain, and when she stole their goods, she found between them a few bottles of unopened Calico Jack, the best whiskey she had ever tasted. She loved the stuff, but it was rare around their parts, and only the snobs in the High Town could afford to get it delivered all the way from the South Blue. When she got her hands on it this morning, she could barely wait to be done with work so she could properly enjoy a good drink. Just as she was hanging up the last sheet, the shrill sound of a crying baby made her pause. For a moment, she was confused. There weren't any children around these parts. Who'd found their hideout? She was ready to go jump off the ladder and investigate when a loud voice made her flinch. Dadan! Although the sound of the crying child got louder, for her it suddenly faded into the background. Why was Garp here? Did he finally want to arrest her? She knew it was fruitless, but Dadan still attempted to hide behind the sheets, hoping he wouldn't see her. You take care of him, Dadan! Scrambling to look over the laundry line, she pushed with a little too much force, and all of her hard afternoon work fell onto the dirty ground below. However, it was the furthest thing from her mind as her gaze landed on the child. What? She shouted. Whose kid is that? Garp shrugged. Who knows? Just as Dadan got off the ladder, careful not to step on the laundry that fell onto the ground, he shoved the kid right into her hands. She looked down at it. Now, she wasn't too experienced when it came to raising kids, but this one couldn't be more than a few weeks old at most. Thin black hair was adorning its head, and a bridge of freckles was running across its nose. Surprisingly, as soon as the kid was dropped in her arms, it had stopped crying and it was looking at her curiously. Dadan snapped her gaze away and looked up to see Garp with his back turned, already making his way out. Wait right there, you old man! Garp stopped in his tracks and turned to look at her with a hand over his heart. Please, I'm only 56. Dadan huffed. Take this kid back right now, I don't want it! Her yelling seemed to catch the attention of all the other bandits in the shack, and they piled up in the doorway trying to take a peek at what was going on. Garp nodded and brought a finger to his chin. I see. Then I guess I can take Ace back, and I'll return to headquarters and write a very detailed report on how a certain group of bandits are terrorizing the East Blue. Dadan gasped and almost dropped the kid in her hands. You're blackmailing me? That's a strong word. I'm just reminding you that I'm a Vice Admiral of the Marines, and it's my duty to report and subdue all criminals. Dadan scrunched up her nose. Like hell! Take it back! I don't want it! Whose kid even is it? Garp sighed. That's a child. Stop saying it. His name is Ace, like I said. Don't concern yourself with who his parents are. Garp, you stupid old man, you tell me who this kid is right now, or so help me God, the Marines are gonna need a new hero when I'm done with you. Dadan knew she was exaggerating. Garp was right. He was a Vice Admiral, and they didn't give that title to just anyone. She knew there was no way in hell she could take him in a fight, let alone win, but she just couldn't believe the audacity of him. To bring her a child she knows nothing about and expect her to raise it with no questions asked. She knew she was a coward, but she drew the line at letting herself be controlled by a Marine, of all things. It didn't matter that Garp was an old friend, he was still a Navy soldier, and he made it clear he was willing to use it to his advantage. Aren't you going a bit too far, boss? It was Magra, who had approached her when she wasn't paying attention. He was probably worried for the others, but Dadan wouldn't bring them into this. She wasn't an idiot. Breathing heavily after her outburst, Dadan glanced down to look at the baby. She was surprised it didn't start crying again. Kids were messy and loud. How could this one not make any noise at all during the exchange? However, to her astonishment, it had fallen asleep. Dadan gaped and Garp laughed. See? You're doing great already. Repressing a huff of annoyance, she handed the child to Magra, who seemed surprised at having to hold a kid so suddenly. He scrambled for a few moments before he remembered he had to hold its head, and he let out a breath of relief. Dadan approached Garp. I'm not joking around. Whose kid is this? For a moment, he didn't reply. And then, he jerked his head towards the forest, Let's go have a talk. About 10 minutes later, Dadan was seated on the grass next to a cut-down tree. They walked pretty far from the hut to an area Dadan didn't usually explore. It used to be the territory of an old lumberjack business before she chased everyone away. Without saying a word, Garp reached into his breast pocket and pulled out a bottle of some sort and two small glasses. Dadan immediately recognized it as the Calico Jack she'd been craving right before the Marine showed up. She repressed a huff as she quietly wondered when she mentioned the drink to Garp. As soon as he poured some of the drink in the glass, Dadan downed it in one go. She knew that whatever Garp was about to say to her would not be anything trivial. She needed that drink. Dadan placed the glass back on the tree stump with a loud thump and nodded towards Garp.
Spill.
He looked like he wanted to stall for time, so he took a sip of his drink and swirled it around the glass for a few moments before he spoke, avoiding her gaze.
The kid's full name is Gold D. Ace.
Dadan raised an eyebrow. Was that supposed to mean anything?
And his father's name was Gold D. Roger.
Gold D. Roger? Dadan paused. She took in a harsh breath. She opened her mouth to speak, but before any words could come out, she choked on her spit. She began coughing violently, smacking her fist on her chest in an attempt to calm down. After a few minutes, she could finally speak again, the shock in her voice no less obvious.
Don't you mean Gold Roger?
Garp nodded solemnly, and Dadan snapped.
What sort of sick joke is this, you old bastard? Roger died 2 years ago. How can that be his kid? I may be stupid, but I'm not that stupid.
Without saying a word, Garp sighed and looked down at the log.
Roger's wife, Portgas de Rouge,
She paused, as if to gather his thoughts.
She carried Ace in her womb for 20 months before she passed away.
Dadan's eyes widened and the cigarette dropped from her fingers.
What are you talking about?
Living in the East Blue all her life, Dadan didn't pretend to understand all the intricacies of the world. She had heard of the so-called devil fruits that gave people strange powers and of those in the Grand Line achieving superhuman feats on the daily. She'd heard of fishmen and giants and sometimes even stories of fairies. She wasn't sure how much of it she really believed, but something of the sort being presented directly in front of her like this seemed too absurd to be true. Garp noticed her bewilderment.
Some people can achieve great things with only their will, and Rouge was one of those people.
He paused and chuckled softly.
Hell, even Roger was like that. It's no wonder they found each other, really.
However, despite his words, Dadan couldn't wrap her head around it. After pondering for a bit, she finally found something that didn't add up.
Why do you have it, then? The newspaper said that you caught Roger and imprisoned him. Why would he entrust you with his child, and why are you protecting it?
Dadan wouldn't put it past Garp for this to be some sort of sick joke. God could only know what was going on through that man's head. However, Garp didn't seem at all put off by her question, and he simply continued his explanation.
I never caught Roger.
He turned himself in. As for why he asked me to take care of his kid, your guess is as good as mine. Was he some sort of idiot or what? He had everything the world had to offer. Why would he turn himself in? Dadan had never liked pirates, nor did she bother to understand them. They were always too proud of their lifestyle, of the ocean. Claimed to fear it, and yet always threw themselves in the midst of trying to conquer it. She knew better than to get mingled with stuff like that. Live your life quietly somewhere on land, like everyone else. Why did you have to brag about sleeping on a boat in the middle of the sea every night?
Everything the world had to offer, huh?
Garp trailed off, looking deep in thought.
That amounts to nothing in the face of death. He was sick, and there was no cure.
Dadan hummed.
So the whole thing was prepared beforehand? That bastard went to the execution platform already knowing he was about to send so many idiots to hunt for his treasure?
Garp shrugged and leaned back.
Who knows? Even after so many years spent chasing him and trying to capture him, I could never really understand him fully.
Dadan reached for the glass of whiskey in order to take another sip. She wasn't drunk enough to deal with all of this.
Roger gave you the kid. Why are you dumping it on me?
Garp looked at her as if she was an idiot, but she couldn't care less. The whole situation was far beyond ridiculous, and if she could find any loophole to get out of this, she would definitely take it. However, without dwelling on it, he began explaining.
I was just seen in the South Blue. The world government has been looking for Roger's wife and kid ever since his execution. If I go to headquarters with some random brat, it'll be obvious, won't it? I can't take care of Ace, and I'm kicked out of the Marines. His tone was calm, as if he'd been thinking about this for a long time, as if he had already resigned himself to whatever would happen. As if he was expecting Dadan to agree.
Scrunching up her nose, she had to stop herself from rolling her eyes. She never appreciated his nerve. What a selfish bastard he was.
Dadan shook her head and lit another cigarette.
You know, for my crimes, I'll get a few years in the East Blue Security Prison, at most. If I get caught with the son of the Pirate King in my house, I'll be lucky to spend the rest of my life in Impel Down.
Garp nodded.
Yeah, I know it's a lot to ask.
Yeah, no shit. So get the hell up and take the kid and leave me alone.
Dadan clicked her tongue. If he knew, why did he continue to insist? She didn't know the first thing about raising a kid, and it's not like she had a lot of learning room. The first wrong move could land her in the gallows.
But... Garp leveled her with a look, almost a glare, and Dadan was becoming more and more impatient.
It's only for a little while, until he's old enough to enlist.
Dadan raised an eyebrow and then promptly burst into laughter.
Now I'm certain you've lost it, old man. I'm a bandit, a criminal. You want me to raise a Marine officer? Are you hearing yourself?
For the next few moments, it was quiet. Garp was looking straight ahead, but Dadan could tell his mind was somewhere else. For the first time since he arrived, she could discern weariness in his gaze. It was gone as soon as she noticed it, and she couldn't help but wonder if she'd only imagined it.
The plan is this, he began, his voice holding a firmness that wasn't there before. I'll adopt Ace as my grandson. When the time comes, I'll take him to headquarters so he can enlist. I'll train and vouch for him, and if he's anything like his father, it won't be hard for him to gain prestige. He'll soon be promoted. If anyone ever finds about his heritage then, it won't matter. He would have already proved himself as an honorable soldier.
Dadan waited for him to finish before dropping some of the cigarette ash on the ground next to her.
The kid wasn't even born a few weeks ago, and you're already deciding his life for him?
Without missing a beat, Garp replied.
The kid wasn't even born a few weeks ago, and the entire world wants him dead. The world government wants him dead, Dadan corrected, taking a drag from her cigarette. His father may have been a demon, but he's just a kid, and he doesn't even know his own name yet.
It is what it is. Dadan chuckled and shook her head.
That's the institution you work for, Vice Admiral. You people call it justice, don't you? I call it bullshit.
She was somewhat nervous saying these things in front of Garp, but she'd just run out of fucks to give, and this entire day was tiring her out. If he wanted to arrest her, he could do it at any time, and it wasn't like adding one more crime to her record would change much. However, Garp didn't speak on it, and he reached for the glass in front of him, downing the last of his drink.
Even if I wanted to do anything about it, I can't. This is coming from way above me. So like I said, it is what it is. Are you going to do it or not?
Dadan raised an eyebrow. Why was he asking this when he'd already made it clear that he wouldn't give her a choice? She sighed and reached for her drink to finish it up.
His parents were monsters, both of them. He won't be a regular kid. Who's to say I can even handle him?
He can't afford to be a regular kid if he wants to survive. Garp crossed his arms over his chest, the firmness returning to his gaze.
You'll be fine.
Dadan pinched the bridge of her nose and resisted the urge to lash out at him.
And just what the hell am I supposed to tell him when he asks about his parents?
He shrugged.
Tell him the truth. He needs to know. The world won't treat him kindly. If he wants to live, he needs to understand these things.
Shaking her head, Dadan stood up.
You're a cruel man.
She was just about to turn on her heel and leave when Garp threw something at her feet.
Take that.
Dadan picked it up and noticed it was a small sack, the size of her palm. Upon opening it, she realized it was full of gold coins. She huffed and threw it back at Garp. I don't need your filthy Marine pension. Hush money or child support, Dadan didn't know what it was supposed to be, and she didn't care. She turned her back on Garp and left. Soon she was back at the hut. She took Ace from Magra and sent him to build a crib. As for Dagra, she ordered him to go to the edge town to buy formula and diapers. Dadan glanced down at Ace, still fast asleep, completely unaware of the world around him. Closing her eyes, she vowed silently to herself. If she was going to do this, she would do it right, goddammit.
Raising Ace had been exactly like Dadon expected. A whole mess. The kid was simply too much for her to deal with, and she was glad for the fact that Garp would come over every once in a while to knock some sense into him, even though there was one thing concerning his upbringing she didn't agree with. Despite talking to Garp before about how telling Ace about his parents wouldn't be a good idea, Garp didn't listen and instead spoke to him about it as soon as the kid was old enough to understand. If you asked Dadon, it didn't do him any good. From what she could tell, Ace ended up hating himself before it was even socially acceptable for him to run around on his own. Not like she could stop him, even if she wanted to. At one point, Dadon had even learned of his habit to ask strangers whether it's good for him to be alive. She had a feeling all the bastards from the trash dump did nothing more than make everything worse for the kid. She tried to convince him to stop. What did those bastards know anyway? But her opinion didn't seem to matter much. She couldn't blame the kid, though. After all, she was nothing more than an obnoxious caretaker for him. Still, she was determined to do her job right. Dadon wasn't a shrink, so she didn't know how to deal with it all. In the end, she just decided on being more subtle, which Ace seemed to appreciate. The other seemed to catch on to it fast, and soon enough, every time the kid came home with food, he was met with choruses of, "Ace is back!" or simply, "Thank God for Ace, or we would have starved!" As long as Ace was needed, maybe it would be enough, and despite how wrong it felt, Dadon left it like that. When Garp brought a child to Mount Columbo a second time, Dadon was very much tired of him. But there was nothing she could do. She just took Luffy the same way she did with Ace and called it a day. The only difference was that Luffy was Garp's actual blood-related grandson. She knew he'd have her head on a stick for any slight mishap, but the stupid brat didn't seem to cooperate with anything and always insisted on giving her a headache. These days, Ace only came back to the shack to sleep, and she thought it would be good to have more hands helping out, but Luffy completely flipped the script by continuously chasing after Ace again and again every single day. They were low on medical supplies for months after that, and frankly, Dadon was at her damn wit's end. But if Ace was unruly, then Luffy was 100 times more than that, and no matter what she said, he wouldn't listen. However, just as suddenly as their conflict had started, it ended, and now Luffy and Ace were calling each other brothers out of everything. She didn't pretend to understand it, but she was glad she didn't have to spend money on medicine and bandages anymore. Ace seemed to be a lot happier, too. And then there was a third child on Mount Columbo, and Dadon didn't mind anymore, especially after she met Sabo. A familiar name that Ace spoke of fondly quite often, and despite the tough words, she was secretly glad her brat had finally seemed to look happier. She didn't even mention the bottles of sake and the sake cups, three in number, that went missing from her closet. Even though she knew Sabo was a noble, he could wear the dirtiest old clothes he could find, and the accent would still give him away, Dadon accepted him right away. He was polite and calm, and he seemed to be the voice of reason for Ace and Luffy, which she appreciated. For once, she wasn't worried about Ace's self-destructive tendencies or Luffy's whereabouts, even as they made their own small base in the woods. She knew they would keep each other safe. It was a much-needed break for her, really. And then, everything went to shit. In between fire and smoke and burns, for a while she was sure she wouldn't make it out. Dadon had lived way longer than she had ever expected to, so she was fine with it. Until her stupid brat did everything in his power and more to save her life. Only for him to fall in despair immediately. After screams and tears, and a letter that was supposed to bring joy but instead brought sorrow, Dadon watched as Ace yelled himself hoarse, and Luffy cowered in a corner crying for the entire night. Even her bandits hid their tears between tight hugs and glasses of alcohol raised high for one of their own. Dadon herself drank quietly and waited for Ace's shouts to die down. She never thought she would have to see him lose one of the brothers he held on to so dearly. And despite the short time he was around, Dadon mourned for him as well. Sabo was a good kid. Days after Sabo's death, the boys were finally gone from the house. She knew there was no danger of Ace going after the Celestial Dragon since they'd long left the island, but she was still worried. They were kids, after all. They'd never experienced loss before. One night, she set out to find them, even though the still-healing burn wounds on her body protested. She found them at the usual spot, their ship built in a tree. Their home away from home. Dadon climbed up the ladders, careful of traps, but she was more upset than she'd like to admit when she realized there weren't any. The kids were probably too tired to set them up. She looked around the room to find Luffy sprawled out on top of the blanket, snoring softly, and Ace sitting in front of him,
looking through the makeshift windows towards the sky. After noticing her, he hastily turned his head away from her and wiped his eyes as if he didn't want Dadan to see he was crying. What a dummy. Dadan sat down next to Ace. She was glad to see Luffy was asleep after he'd stayed awake crying for so long. For a while, neither of them spoke, and Dadan was itching for a cigarette before she remembered she had smoked everything in the shack, even snatching a couple cigarettes from the others. "How are you holding up, kid?" Ace just shrugged and avoided her gaze, but Dadan could see the tear stains on his cheeks. She knew how hard it must have been for him. Sabo was his only friend for years, a kid his age he could freely speak to, someone who wouldn't judge him. Every once in a while, Ace would mention Sabo at dinner, and even before meeting him, Dadan had a sort of respect for him. Now he was gone, and Ace probably didn't know how to deal with it. "Are you mad at me?" Dadan asked, and Ace furrowed his brows. "You should have let me avenge them." His tone had a sort of finality to it, as if that was the only thing he'd been thinking of since. Dadan scoffed. "Idiot, you would have died. I don't care," Ace yelled. "I don't care," Ace yelled a little too loud before he remembered Luffy was still asleep, and he glanced back to check if his brother had stirred. Luffy was out like a light, snoring peacefully, and Ace returned his glare towards Dadan. Dadan clicked her tongue and resisted the urge to act like Garp and smack Ace upside the head. She didn't believe in hitting kids, but Ace often knew how to drive her over the edge. "What do you think will happen to Luffy then, huh?" Ace flinched and his eyes widened. "You're not by yourself anymore. Don't you see what a crybaby he is? You can't just drop dead and leave him alone." Ace tightened his fists and looked away. He seemed consumed by anger, and his jaw clenched. He screwed his eyes shut and shook his head. After a few moments, he hesitantly spoke. "It's not fair." Dadan could tell he was holding back tears, and she huffed. "By now you should know that." The kid didn't respond, and instead just looked up at the sky with glassy eyes, all the anger from before extinguished. "Sabo didn't deserve it." Dadan sighed and anxiously patted her pockets for a cigarette she wouldn't find. She really needed to send Dagra to buy some, goddammit. "And Luffy doesn't deserve to lose his other brother." Ace nodded softly and one tear fell from his eye. This time, he didn't move to wipe it away. "Listen, kid, the world isn't fair," Dadan began, hoping to finally make Ace understand. "The world isn't fair to people like me and Sabo who don't fit in with what society expects of us. And it's especially not fair to people like you and Luffy who have such bad blood in your veins." Because Dadan didn't know who Luffy's parents were, but she knew they couldn't be any regular run-of-the-mill people with the way Garth fussed about him being a Marine, in a similar way that he did with Ace. It had to be more than wanting Luffy to keep up with the family business. Ace scowled at that and glared at her like, still, he didn't understand. Dadan continued, undeterred. "The world isn't fair, and that's why you need to fight harder than everyone else. You need to show them you're still kicking. Prove it to them. No matter how many times they try to bring you down, you'll get back up again." She paused as Ace's expression finally relaxed, and he seemed to listen. "Those celestial dragons like to think they're above everyone, that they control us. If you give in to anger and try to fight them, you'll end up dead. And not only that, you'll prove them right. I told you before, you're just a weak brat. You can't even get past the Marines as you are." Ace had a somber look on his face, as if he was thinking things over. "Gramps said Marines uphold justice. How is this justice?" Dadan leaned back and crossed her arms over her chest. "Your Gramps is full of crap. What they do is no justice. They try to shove it down our throats, but everyone with half a brain knows how fake it all is. You're an ambitious kid. When you grow strong enough, go out and see the world. Decide for yourself what justice should be." For a moment, it was quiet. Ace nodded with a determined look in his eye. Dadan decided to try again. She tried to teach him one more thing that could save his life, that so far he had firmly refused over and over again. "Remember, you gotta stay alive, even if it means running away." "Never!" Ace barely let her finish her sentence before he intervened. "I will never run away!" Holding in a breath, Dadan glanced at him. "Even if you die?" "Even if I die." She knew they had this exact argument before, and even Garp had told her Roger was the exact same way. She didn't push. Instead, she stood up to her feet and glanced at Ace. "Stupid child. she mumbled under her breath before she left the treehouse. The reason Dadon even went there was to make sure Ace understood why it was important for him to live. But she felt like she didn't make much progress. With a heavy heart, she made her way back, hoping from the bottom of her heart that Luffy would be enough to keep him alive. After all, that was the only part that seemed to get through to him. Eventually, things fell into a routine again. Before Ace and Luffy, Dadon never understood those people that complained about how fast time passes once you have kids, but it got to a point in her life where she regretfully started to admit she was getting old. It wasn't that obvious before, but soon her two brats shot up in height and started to stink enough that everyone in the shack threatened to spray them with the hose every time they came home in the evening and refused to take a bath. Of course, Ace and especially Luffy put up a huge fight, but Dadon would have none of it. Her house was too small as it was. On top of it all, they got stronger. The animals they brought home for dinner became larger and more ferocious as days passed. At one point, Dadon knew they'd become strong enough to not need her protection anymore, and she was more saddened by this than she'd like to admit. However, Ace looked happier than he had been in years. He was finally strong enough to achieve his goals, and the proud grin he always wore was enough for her to be happy as well. They grew wilder and more unrestrained every single day, and Dadon wasn't stupid enough to not realize that Mount Columbo and even Dawn Island were becoming too small to contain them. Then one day, as sudden as he'd shown up, Ace left. Dadon wiped her tears with a handkerchief, and every day for weeks she smoked an entire pack of cigarettes, more than the usual in an attempt to convince herself that she wasn't worried. However, her brat was finally strong enough to see the world, and she wouldn't stand in his way, no matter how heavy her heart was. She half expected Luffy to cry and lock himself inside after Ace's departure, but he had truly matured over the years. More than anything, he looked excited for his own journey that would follow. When Garp showed up, he chased Luffy around for hours trying to beat the desire of being a pirate out of him, but Luffy only laughed and proclaimed loudly that he would be the next pirate king. Garp tried to shift his wrath onto Dadon, and she shut it down immediately. Nothing in their agreement stated she had to keep the kids on the island. Garp only chewed on his cheek and left, defeated. It wasn't long before Luffy left too, and for the first time in 20 years, Mount Columbo was quiet. Clenching the newspaper between her bloodied fingers, Dadon downed her whiskey. She slapped the paper on the counter forcefully, the front page downward. She was sick of looking at it. Dadon picked up the bottle and took a large swig. Her encounter with Garp had sobered her up. The back of her hands were aching from the force of her punches, but she couldn't bring herself to care. Beating up the old bastard was cathartic, but it didn't solve anything. Ace was still dead, and Luffy was on the verge of death. God knows where. Makino stepped out from the storage room, bringing Dadon out of her thoughts. The other woman had bloodshot eyes from crying and kept sniveling. She sat down on her stool behind the counter before remembering herself and shooting to her feet again.
Can I get you anything else, Dadon-san?
Dadon shook her head. Sit down, girl. Makino nodded absently and sat back down. She looked like she would cry again, so Dadon decided to intervene.
Stop crying. It doesn't do anything.
Makino flinched and clenched her skirt between her fingers. Dadon was aware that she would sound hypocritical. After all, she cried herself just a few minutes ago, but this was important for Makino to understand. Dadon didn't want her to make the same mistake she did.
Does getting into fights with your children's grandfather do anything?
She asked, sounding more defeated than anything, despite her words.
Since when do you got cheeks like that?
Dadon turned her gaze away and took another swig of her drink. Makino laughed.
I work in a bar, Dadon-san.
She said, as if that explained everything. She paused before she continued.
You were too harsh on him.
Dadon shook her head and scoffed. I don't care. The bastard deserves harsher. Makino opened her mouth to protest, but Dadon didn't let her.
Tell me, if you, a weakling, a nobody between those monsters, were on that battlefield, was there anything that could have stopped you from trying to save Ace?
Pursing her lips, Makino said nothing.
You barely know those kids, and he's their grandfather. He's the strongest man I know. The Marines are always feeding us bullshit on how he's the hero. He could have changed the tide of that war, but he didn't.
Is that so easy to forgive? Makino exhaled and closed her eyes. Her voice was shaky when she spoke.
Still, do you think it was easy for him? He has the weight of the world on his shoulders. I don't give a damn about the world. He stood by and let Ace die. Can you excuse that?
I can't,
Makino whispered, her eyes screwed shut as if she was fighting an internal struggle. But I don't think he's the heartless man you make him out to be. He's suffering too. Didn't he retire?
Dadan picked up a cigarette from the pack and lit it while listening to Makino speak.
She understood Makino's train of thought, but she didn't care. Ace was dead, and Garp could have prevented it. Nothing else matters.
Too little, too late. She puffed out the smoke. Hope that bastard got his justice now.
Makino shook her head like she disagreed, but she didn't argue. Instead, she smoothed her skirt and took a deep breath to calm down. Dadan took another swig of the whiskey. Coincidentally, it was the same whiskey she drank 20 years ago with Garp, and it tasted far more bitter than she remembered. However, alcohol was alcohol, and she continued to drink anyway.
Listen up, Makino, for when you have your own kids. Dadan spoke, and Makino seemed startled. She brought a hand over her stomach. She probably thought she was subtle, but Dadan knew anyway.
I know I wasn't a good mother, but
you were!
Makino intervened, jumping to her feet.
You were!
Dadan laughed and shook her head.
You don't have to lie, girl. I know my own worth.
But Dadan-san, those kids were happy. They really were. And they loved you.
Her tone was so sincere that Dadan had to bring up a hand to wipe a tear from her eye. She knew better than to believe her, though. Kids weren't usually raised by bandits in the woods, and Dadan would never pretend she was the epitome of a loving mother.
I may not have been a good mother, but I did my best. I didn't have much to give them. I only had enough to provide a roof over their head, warm water to bathe in, and a bowl of rice every day. Hell, there were times I didn't even have enough money for clothes, and Luffy could only wear hand-me-downs from Ace and whatever else they managed to steal.
Dadan was aware she was rambling, as the alcohol finally got to her, but Makino didn't seem to mind as she began polishing a glass while listening.
I just wish I could have made Ace understand.
Dadan gripped the bottle tighter in her hands.
I think Luffy did, despite how little he listened to me. This one thing got through to him. I tried to drill it into both of their heads, but Ace always argued back about it.
Makino hummed.
What exactly? There are two rules in my household. Protect whoever is closest to you, and if you can't, grab them by force and run as fast as your legs will take you. I know I'm just a weakling, but I have people leaning on me. I can't let them die, so I make sure they all know it's fine to run away sometimes. Some were too proud for it, though. I felt it on my own skin before. Didn't think it would happen again.
Makino put down the glass with a thud. Dadan looked up to see anger in her eyes.
It's not your fault if that's what you're saying.
Dadan only sighed as she extinguished the cigarette on the ashtray in front of her.
I'm just saying that if I continued to push, to try to break down that dreadful pride of his, maybe it would have turned out different. I'm telling you this to remember in the future. Don't raise prideful kids, and if you do, make sure they know exactly what that pride will bring them. No!
Makino shouted, slapping the rag she used to wipe the glass on the counter.
It's not your fault, Dadan-san!
Her gaze softened.
Ace was hard-headed. Nothing you could have done would change him.
Makino looked down.
Plus, it was the world government who killed him. We know how absolute they are. Ace was their target from the beginning.
Ace was a criminal.
A gruff voice spoke from behind them, and Dadan and Makino looked over to see Garp. Without hesitation, he walked up to the counter and sat down on the stool next to Dadan.
Can I get a whiskey, Makino-san?
Dadan growled and jumped to her feet. She picked up her club, ready to swing at him.
What are you saying, old man?
Garp didn't answer. Instead, he poured Dadan's whiskey in a glass and downed it in one go.
Ace was a target because he was a criminal.
His tone was more relaxed, as if he was just stating a fact, and it made Dadan even more furious.
Bullshit! I'm a criminal too, and yet you never turned me in. He could have been a saint and just as easily ended up on the execution platform. We all know what this was really about.
Garp pursed his lips, fixated on the counter.
Children don't bear their parents' sin.
Dadan narrowed her eyes.
That's what I'd like to say. But unfortunately, that's not how it works.
Breathing heavily, Dadan clenched her teeth. She didn't know how much more of this she could take.
Dadan-san,
Makino said in warning, and Dadan leaned her club on the counter. Don't you ever speak about Ace in front of me again, and I'll repeat this to you, as it seems like you don't understand.
Dadan got closer and pointed a finger at Garp's chest.
I don't give a damn about your world government, the Marines, or your shitty justice. You better think carefully about what your family means to you.
Garp didn't respond, and his gaze was still fixated on the counter, as if Dadan wasn't even speaking to him. However, she didn't let this discourage her.
When Luffy first came in spouting about becoming Pirate King, I laughed because, frankly, that scrawny kid yelling about becoming that sort of big shot seemed like nothing but a joke. But let me tell you, you have one ambitious grandson. I don't know if it runs in the family or what, but one of these days that brat will go big. And when that happens, when the entire world is after him, you better think carefully about where you stand, unless you want to lose another grandson.
Finished with her rant, Dadan was breathing heavily. She picked up her club and turned towards Makino, who was looking at Garp as if awaiting a reaction. Dadan didn't care whether the old man had anything to say and just wanted to make her way out as soon as possible.
I'm sorry, Makino, I'll pay next time, she said, before turning her attention towards Garp. And you, if you show your face on Mount Columbo again, I'll kill you.
Without waiting for a response, she left, climbing up the mountain with only her thoughts to keep her company. Dadan spent the next 2 weeks anxiously awaiting news about Luffy. She even bought a subscription to the news coup to be up to date with the happenings of the world. The days dragged on without word of Luffy, and some of the bandits gave up, thinking he was dead. But Dadan decided to continue waiting. From what she could tell, many big changes took place in the world in that brief period of time, some of which were too absurd or political for her to care about. So instead, she kept an eye out for the headlines and the wanted posters. Eventually, after what seemed like forever, Luffy's somber face was on the front page, alive and well, and Dadan could finally breathe. She threw a feast for everyone that night, and she drank for her brat that she knew would undoubtedly turn the world upside down one day. She couldn't wait to bear witness to it all. For once, she didn't try to hide her tears as she made her way to the kid's treehouse, now dusty and abandoned. Dadan threw the newspaper on the ground and yelled, only for the forest to hear.
You can rest in peace now, Ace!
This has been A Lesson Not Imparted by Rooksie. You can find this fic and others like it in the One Piece Justice Anthology on Twitter at op_justicezine or at op-justicezine.card.co. If you're interested in your own podfic, head on over to zipcodeman.name/submit to submit your fic. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you back here next week for the next Podfic a Week.